Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Bell. Nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brings more and more questions about your job security. Has anybody in the organization told you anything about your job and what's your concern about hanging on to this job?
Nobody's told me anything, and I don't have a concern. I'll just wait and see. My key work's on Monday. Keep working. Go attack the Miami Dolphins and plan on getting our first win next week.
So for Jay Gruden, the key did not work. He was gassed at 5 a.m. this morning. Which you can see coming a mile away. Final hour, Felger and Maz here on a Monday after the Patriots win 33-7 yesterday with the Redskins. So quickly, and this is it all sort of ties together, Brady's weapons and his discontent and how he played yesterday. I thought, just eyeballing the thing, that he held the ball longer than he usually does in this game and took more sacks. He took 4 sacks in the game, which is more than he had the entire 4 months before. So he was willing to take the sacks. I also saw him hold the ball and flush out more than I usually do. Again, that standard sort of scramble that you see a lot of quarterbacks in the league do where they sort of slip between and slip between the, say, guard tackle gap on the pocket and then sort of flush out to the right and roll to your right to your strong side with your right, you know, right hand and throw out there. And he did that a couple times. And one kind of led to a touchdown. The Bolden touchdown was him kind of flushing to the right. But he did that more in this game than I'm used to seeing. In fact, wouldn't you say that one of the staples of Brady's game the last couple of years is bailing out of plays and not taking contact, not taking sacks? It's not there. He chucks the ball away and ducks out of contact, and even is ducking out of contact that isn't there, to the point where we criticize him for, you kind of look like a puss there. There's no one there, and you're bailing out of it. So he's become so conscious about not taking contact that I was surprised to see him take those hits yesterday. And so then I said, why? Why? Why would he take those sacks yesterday and take those hits? And then this is the way my brain works. Negatively. Well, if you take a sack, it's not an incompletion. And that doesn't go against your quarterback rating. And it doesn't go against your completion percentage. The sack isn't on your numbers. It's on someone else's numbers. If you throw the ball away, so those 4 sacks, if you threw them away, instead of being 67% on completions yesterday, he's 64.
Something like
63.
That.
63. Instead of having a 106 rating, he has a 101 rate or whatever. Like, you know, it just matters on the margins, but it does. And I wonder if that sort of crept into his head or something along the lines of, I want everyone to see just how no one's open. So I'm just going to hold it and hold it and hold it. And you'll see for yourself. No one's open. I have no one to throw it. I don't know, something like that. That's just the way my brain works. And, well, that leads actually to the Mimecast email of the day.
It's the Mimecast email of the day!
Dear Felga, I freaking hate you. And I think Maz is a douche.
The Mimecast email of the day!
Send one to Felga at 98.5.
So I said, that's the way my brain works, right? That I immediately thought of that. Sam writes in, subject line, your brain doesn't work. Felger says, Sam, if that's how your brain works, you are a moron. If Brady wanted to take a sack so that the stat didn't go against him and he doesn't suffer an incompletion, then why did he not take the sack when he had 2 guys in his face near the goal line that ended in that horrendous pick? Could it possibly be that his receivers outside of Edelman simply suck? That he's waiting and waiting and waiting for someone to get open and they can't? That despite your desire to see him produce, Jacoby Myers is a giant stiff that can't beat actual NFL corners. That Josh Gordon, despite what he looks like, only catches about 50% of the balls thrown his way and he can't run routes. that his tight ends are lumbering buffoons who can only score when they're literally the only player in the end zone. Could that be it? If you still don't think they need more in the passing game and they can survive throwing to this collection of crap out there, then you're helpless. Who can win when teams play man coverage? Philip Dorsett is also hurt, so there's that. So much for you and Bedard's binky. Sam and Beverly says, if that's the way my brain works, then I'm a moron. Well, I don't know. All I can tell you is some of those sacks yesterday, he usually doesn't take them.
He held the ball. This part, to me, is not, you know, isn't a stretch.
He held the ball.
He did. He held the ball more
on
than
some play. Not every play, and certainly she should have held it on the one he intercepted. I'm not disputing that. I just think there were a half dozen plays out there where he held the ball more than I'm used to seeing him.
See, I don't think it relates to his stats, though. I mean, that's just my two cents. I think, though, it does relate to something Bedard said last week where he said Brady had a bad game, and now I'm going back to the Buffalo game. He said there were guys open underneath or there were guys who were about to get open, meaning if Brady had waited just a half tick longer, a window would have presented itself and he could have thrown the ball. And I wonder if that wasn't a lesson, you know, or a message to him from Belichick or McDaniels or both. Tom, give it another half beat. Give it another half beat. You don't have to get rid of it. No one's near you. You got time. So give it another half beat. And he gave it another half beat and started taking sacks.
Okay. I'll hold the ball. Let's see how that works.
Exactly. You're something like that. That's what I think it was. And he doesn't have faith in that line, and he doesn't have a lot of faith in that receiving core other than Edelman. I question even you know, Gordon, as much as he throws to him. And at the end of the day, I suppose that's all that matters. But it doesn't, you know, it hasn't felt as efficient the last couple of weeks with Gordon either.
Did Gordon give up on that deep ball?
No, that was on Brady.
That was just a pure overthrow?
I thought so.
He didn't throttle down a little bit?
I thought the ball was overthrown. I thought, but you know, how's Brady going to see it? Which is really all that matters.
Or is Brady expecting him to be at a certain speed and he's not? Because Gordon is...
He's lumbering a bit.
No longer a blazer. Or he hasn't been this year. I mean, at that speed that he once had, he's well off his prime in terms of speed.
But I thought he overthrew him. I thought that was a bad ball.
Okay, so anyway, there's that reset. We continue with your thoughts on this, the Ben Watson situation, et cetera, et cetera. Let's grab something on last night. Rick and Swampscott. Go ahead, Rick.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Did anybody last night during the KC Indy game, did anybody want to vomit more than me about the ass kissing that Collinsworth and Michaels were giving Mahomes all game? It was sickening. They were coronating him already to the Hall of Fame, calling him the best quarterback ever.
Rick,
and then at the end
Rick,
of the game, when they
Rick,
knew he was
Rick, I don't think they call him the best quarterback ever. But is this one of these Patriots fans that doesn't like to hear commentators say nice things about other players?
Apparently.
I think Mahomes is a really good quarterback. But before you coronate him to the Hall of Fame and call him great, he's got to do something first.
All right,
in his professional career.
So let me tell you, Rick. You know, they were over the top. They were swinging from his satchel. Collinsworth was swinging from one of them, and Michaels was swinging from the other.
I hope they weigh the same.
The gushing is getting a little obnoxious.
They were swinging from the satchel. But just let me tell you something. When Tom Brady's up on Sunday Night Football, they'll be swinging from his sack. And when Aaron Rodgers plays, they swing from his. So Patrick Mahomes is not the only guy that they do that for. They'll do that for most of the star court. When Drew Brees is up there, they'll be swinging from his.
I mean, you know, he is the reigning MVP of the league.
A lot of people don't like there being another good quarterback.
On the most dynamic offense in the league, and let's face it, he's the next generation. He's the guy. So, like,
and his one touchdown last night was almost a borderline obnoxious. It was so ridiculous.
I mean, if I'm the NFL, I am pumping the crap out of Patrick Mahomes because he's the guy you're going to hang your hat on for the next 15 years.
Jim in Brooklyn on Tom Brady. Hi, Jim.
Hey, yesterday during the telecast, I don't know if you guys saw on the 4th-and-1 where the direct snap to James White, they did the cutaway to the bench and they showed Brady sitting there. And you could see him mouth the word "so stupid," and then they cut away really quick.
Yeah, I thought there was an F-bomb in there too. I don't remember, but it was either so stupid or so effing stupid.
Did he really?
It was something like that. He's right. I remember. I saw it too.
Saying that about the call, or
yeah, well, I don't know what else he would be calling about.
I mean, it had to be it. He did. He the caller's right. He's dead on.
So look. I don't doubt it happened, and I don't doubt he was frustrated that he thought it was a stupid call, but
I don't think we have problems, Brady Josh, do we?
No.
Like, that's not, I think Brady's butthurt that he didn't get Antonio Brown or isn't surrounded by enough talent, and I think that's sort of the crux of it, not McDaniel's play calling. I don't think, unless there's something else there.
No, but again, no. He can have a perfectly good relationship with Josh and still think it was a stupid call.
Correct, Amundo.
Right? I mean, you know, Brady's been around long enough now where he's like, God, that was stupid. Why the hell did we do that? Right? And, you know, so I'm not...
29th run defense in the league, and you run a direct snap, dipsy-do. It was a lining up and just... plowing it down,
and
the
he face. Was White was like 5 yards. I feel like behind the play too. The thing was, he was deep. Dumb play.
It wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. Oh God, he got blown up in the backfield.
Mike in Northborough. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys? You guys have just touched on it, but Antonio Brown. Okay, guys, complete idiot, elementary, all that. But I think Mazur, what you just said. Okay, so we did already give him the $5-6 million. I'm not really good with salary cap, but it's true. Like, in a couple weeks, why not bring him back? Because he's just going to get put on the exempt list anyways. But how funny would that be? And not to mention, I'm still holding off for Gronk week 10 or 11.
Okay, well, Gronk's going to want to get paid. And if you have trouble, like, you know, bringing any of these other guys in, how do you think Gronk's going to... But anyway.
See, I just think this is bordering into fantasy land.
So now we're going to bring Antonio Brown back.
Yeah, this is just, this is getting silly. And it's like, they went through the whole soap opera with him here for the 11 days he was here. They finally cut him loose, and now all of a sudden they're going to turn around and bring him back? No shot.
Brady and Bill would do it in a heartbeat.
Sure. They never would have let him go.
But the owner?
No, no chance.
No, not after he ripped him in that tweet going back, a month ago or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
it was.
There was that, too.
Yeah, no, they're never, ever going to bring him back.
So, again, and the fans look at it from their perspective, and they say, we'll bring him back, because they never wanted to get rid of him in the first place. Kraft's not doing a 180 on this. He's not. It's just not going to happen. So, and the problem is, and now I think fans recognize it, is that they just released Ben Watson today in part because they need some flexibility in terms of their salary cap, because they don't want to restructure Hightower. They want to restructure McCourty. And the reason they have cap issues, if they have him, is because they gave their money to Antonio Brown. They chose that path. They chose it, and it blew up on them, which, again, if you weigh it out, really, you look back at it and say, for all of the criticisms we had of them at the time to not do it, blowing up the salary cap was not one of them for me. But now add that to the list. And
I did criticize the contract about it. Like, I couldn't believe the guarantees in that contract.
Sure.
Couldn't believe it. What, the freaking Raiders signed him to a smarter contract than you. The Raiders, numbskull, Mark Davis, that doofus, signed him to a smarter, more team-protected contract than you. That, and I said it the second I heard it, I said, what? A signing bonus? Not per game? What, like the Raiders did? What? So
they gave Brown that money, Mike.
That blew me away.
Then they traded Demaryius Thomas off the roster. And now they've had to release Ben Watson after cutting loose Brown. So the decision to give Brown that money has cost them three players now. Three.
Let's see how they land on their feet. They got something up their sleeve. We'll see what it is. We continue with your reaction to, again, yesterday's game. What do you give the game overall? Maz, give me a grade for the Patriots yesterday.
C-.
Murray?
A C+.
I said B-. I downgraded to a 79.
73.
That's still a C, man.
That's a C.
A 70 is a C-.
70, 72 is a C-.
Oh, so now it's 72? Okay, fine. 72.
Thank you.
Does that make you happy?
It's too low. Well, that's a C-.
Okay, well, there you go. So 72.4, can I do that? Does that round to 72?
It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't good.
But it wasn't great. I would agree with you there.
They played a better team yesterday. They would have lost.
What do you folks think? To you after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening to Felger and Nash.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Shotgun snap to Brady. Lobs a throw toward James White to the left side, and it's going to be intercepted. Picked off by Nicholson. Brady simply threw it out there with White wheeling out of the backfield.
I'm going to say this.
Pats took it away, then they gave it away.
That was worse of an inside the red zone or inside the 10 pick throw by Brady than he had last week. And last week's was bad.
But that one was worse. No question about it. All right, back to your phones as promised. Here's Max in the truck. Hi, Max.
Hey, what's up, Felger? Hey, what's up, guys? Good, how you doing? So I give that game like a C-. I mean, I thought the first quarter, Brady was getting pressured. What do you guys think about the Patriots trading Michael Bennett and then trading for Emmanuel Sanders and Von Miller? I don't know how the
Put your trade card away.
Man, just
so I'll tell you what,
goofy.
He's
not getting Von Miller, but could Michael Bennett be a situation?
Yes, he's on the right line of thought because, again, in order to take on a player like Sanders, whose cap hit is like $10 million or whatever it is, 10 plus, you're going to probably have to move money out the door.
Yes.
You're going to have to send money out in addition to the wiggle room you got by releasing Watson. And if Bennett's unhappy, well, then there you go. I mean, that feels like an easy one and to hit on. And their defense is so good. Bennett has really been unnoticeable thus far. They've done pretty well, I would say, on the defensive line. I mean, they got gashed a little bit in the Buffalo game, but, you know, it didn't really hurt him in the grand scheme of things, and he's more of a pass player than a run player anyway. Like, I could see that happening.
Okay, so Bennett, again, what was his playing time yesterday? And did you notice him?
He showed up late.
Where they had the tandem sack there. Was it him and Hightower?
Yeah. So they showed one shot of him on the sidelines where I looked at him as like his jersey was untucked or he had like some sort of little jacket underneath the jersey or something where it's like, I think he did play after that, and that might have been the sack after the fact.
He played 15 snaps yesterday.
15?
Wow, it's 25%.
He played 1-5.
1-5.
Yeah, guys like, you know, Adam Butler have been getting way more snaps than him. John Simon, I think, has been getting more snaps than him.
Okay, so again, as I gave this to you earlier, he is your sixth highest paid player. Sixth highest cap hit, if you want to go by that. $6.5 million. So, I don't know. You play someone $6.5 million to play. I mean, the guys above him play every snap. The five guys who are paid higher than him, Brady, McCourty, Hightower, Gilmore, Mason. They all play every snap. So, and then here are the three guys below him. Van Noy, every snap, doesn't he, pretty much?
Yeah.
Edelman, Marcus Cannon. Okay. There's your top 10 in payroll. They all play every snap except from like 15%.
Yeah, remember, they gave him a little bump too when they brought him here, remember?
Yeah, well, he said he wasn't going to keep playing unless you paid him, unless
you
gave him a raise.
He's the logical candidate to go.
They already gave him a $2 million signing bonus for crying out loud.
I mean, that makes perfect sense, actually. He's the perfect candidate to go.
So if I'm reading this right, you only save $1.5 million. His dead cap hit is $4 million, if I'm reading this right. So I don't know how much you're actually saving there. You're saving real money.
Yeah, and then so, you know, we talked about this late last week when you were out, Maz. Like, I feel like this is more, and look, it's the Bennett. Like, these are outspoken guys, whether it's him or Martellus.
I don't trust him.
I don't know. I just think this is him. This is Belichick looking long term when the slate's going to get a little bit more difficult next month and into December, and this is like a load management thing. I have to think that because this is the guy that brought in to replace Trey Flowers. And I know the defense has been excellent, and I believe in it.
I don't trust these Bennetts. And when I say I don't trust him, like, I don't trust that there's, you know, there's just something, there's a pain in the ass lurking around the corner with these guys. And, his brother, you know, quit on Green Bay, basically faked an injury to get out. So, like, that's my distrust. He also, last week, you were gone on Friday when we talked about it, he was asked in the locker room about his role on the defense, and he cut the reporter off and said, you mean the zero role? No role. And the reporter, I think it was from Mass Live, said, oh, so you're not happy with her? He said, no, I'm just kidding. But this is what I mean.
Like, and then the reporter also followed up and said, well, how do you think you're playing? And he did the old Adelius Thomas, go ask coach.
You should go ask coach that.
It's never a good sign.
And then he ended up playing 15 snaps yesterday. So I don't know. I mean, Michael Bennett, certainly, I wouldn't say they're getting any bang for their buck. But the question is it planned or not? Is this what they were planning to do with him, load management and all that?
I mean, I would have said planned up to now. But they need help at receiver, and they got to move some money, it feels like.
Tom and Quincy, what are your thoughts for us today, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hi. Hey, Mike, this is when it starts to get crazy with me, when people start making their trade, scenarios and stuff. Why the hell is Denver going to trade Von Miller to the Pats?
They're not trading Von Miller, but they might trade Manny Sanders.
And I'd be all right with that. But here's my thing about the receivers. Well, there's one thing is, Gunner's killing me. He's killing me. He's just the fair catches. He's not even taking up like, upfield or nothing. But the issue with the receivers isn't so much of a talent thing. It's more of an injury thing and a depth thing, because now the other guys that can actually catch the ball, Brady won't throw it to them. So you have Edelman's banged up. You got Gordon looks like he's banged up. You lost Dorsett yesterday. So now you're left to throw to Izzo and the Lacoste kid and then relying on White. And, you threw three to Sony Michel. So you got all these people going, oh, yeah, well, trade for Stephon Diggs or trade for this guy and trade for this guy. It's like you can't just go out and get the team's best receiver. You do have to pay these people, and you do have to have the actual assets to trade.
Yeah, it's not as easy as it sounds. I agree. So they got to do – but I do think they're trying. I really do. It's just a sense I get. I think they're going to make a move. They're trying to make a move. And
well, just look at the pattern, the history of it. Go back to free agency. They went after Humphreys. They went after Beasley. Right.
They went after Antonio Brown. Right, they offered Antonio a first round pick.
Excellent.
For him.
Excellent. I think, didn't they express some interest in Golden Tate at the time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, okay. So they went after all these receivers. They drafted N'Keal Harry. Then they brought Brown in when the season started. They signed just about every guy who out there who wasn't nailed down, including Demaryius Thomas, Inman, every one of them. I mean, they brought in a million receivers. So they clearly know there's a need.
We've got Stan in Medfield with an NFL thought. Yes, Stan.
Hey, guys, how's it going? So just real quick. So I'm starting to get really frustrated with all these replays and the way they're turning out sometimes. I just feel like the referees go into the replay and they're trying to just look at the play and see what happened. They have to go with what the play is on the field and be 100% that did not happen. And if it did not happen, let's say a fumble, first down, interception, pass interference, whatever. But they're not doing that. If the call is X on the field, if you can't be 100% sure that happened or did
not
happen.
So is there a specific play, Stan?
I just feel like overall the referees are going in there and they're watching the replay and they're trying to see, well, let's see.
I have to cut you off. I don't know what your point is. I think they're just the opposite. I think it's taking heaven and earth for them to overturn calls. Silliness to the point that you see this offensive pass interference last night with the Colts that they didn't overturn. There's nothing nonsense, nothing thing that T.Y. Hilton did on a what is ostensibly a pick route, except he didn't pick him. I don't even think he touched the guy.
He really didn't.
And they threw the flag for OPI. They went to replay and the call stood. And I don't get it. So, like, what's becoming problematic is how over officiated these games are. It's every other play there's a flag. Every other play.
I feel like they've been doing that since the beginning of the year.
Absolutely grotesquely over-officiated.
It's been brutal this year.
Brutal.
This is why Brady went to Twitter.
I mean, just brutal. And I sat through the whole Green Bay-Dallas thing, and if you watch that, it was just an absolute caravan parade of flags raining from the crowd. Just nonstop. Non-stop every other play. It was painful.
I mean, yesterday's game had 18, the Patriots game. 18 penalties total. 11 on the Redskins. I told you. Now, this is really a reflection on the Redskins more than the officiating. They had penalties on three straight plays on offense and 4 out of 5.
What was that sequence that you liked to get missed?
Okay, so the sequence went first down play in their own territory, fumble. Then they had a series where they snapped the ball seven times and had four penalties in the span of five plays, an incompletion, a running play, and a pass completion, and three penalties in a row. Then they get the ball back and on the first play through a pick. It was 10 snaps in which they committed four penalties and two turnovers, all inside their own 30-yard line. And the Patriots got 3 points. It was one of the most inept demonstrations of quote-unquote professional football I have ever seen. You know what I'm going to do? Tonight, I'm going to find it. I'm going to put together a little montage of it. It was so pathetic. It was as bad as you will ever see.
Well, so here's the play. Here's the sequence. McCoy pass short, middle to Quinn, fumble. Brady then throws the interception. Redskins get the ball back at their one. Penalty, false start. McCoy, deep pass to McLaughlin for 17 yards. Next, Peterson for 10 yards, penalty, holding. Next play, penalty, false start. McCoy incomplete, but penalty, offensive holding. Next play, McCoy, short, middle to Richardson, Patriots timeout.
Then they punted.
Then they punted. That's right. Then they got the ball back. First play back. McCoy, short middle to Sims, intercepted. That was the whole sequence.
It was unbelievable. I can't remember seeing anything like it. They snapped the ball seven times and like six bad things happened. It's like borderline impossible.
Okay, final thoughts from you coming up. The Felger and Maz off-air show, and I didn't tell you about tickets. Hold on. Felger and Maz off-air show returns tonight. Myself and Ty Anderson. Any of you hockey Christians out there horny for a little puck talk after the Bruins are 2-0? We'll do a little bit of it, but we'll mostly stay with Patriots and off-the-grid topics. Off-air show brought to you by Ace Ticket, Facebook Live, 6 o'clock sharp, me and Ty Anderson. That's that. Patriots tickets, you can win freebies here on Wednesday. Is it 4:30, Maz? Jesus.
Jimmy.
I was going to say Murray, then it came out Maz, and what I meant to say was Stu. Stu, 4:30 on Wednesday?
4:30 is correct.
4:30 for free Patriots tickets on Wednesday, Murray. Do we have a bright idea on how to give them away?
Yep, I'm going to tell you guys about it tomorrow. I'm going to have some production ready, but as we mock another radio station a bit, you know, we did Phrase That Pays, we're going to do another one on Wednesday to give these away.
Oh, goody.
I thought it was the Dirty at 30. What do we do?
Well, we did that too, yeah. The Dirty on the 30. We had the Phrase That Pays. We'll have another one where we mock a notorious radio bit to give away these tickets on
Wednesday.
Let's
face it. No, but mocking me because I actually thought these were good ideas that I thought were fresh, good ideas.
Oh, they were good ideas. The audio that we have will live forever.
I want to know more about the Dirty on the 30.
Bro. Anyway, free tickets coming your way Wednesday for Thursday night's game against Daniel Jones and the Giants. And, coming up after the update, guess what happens tonight? For the first time in, I'm going to say, 4 years or so? I'll tell you right after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
All right. We've been picking them apart for the most part today. It was a C-minus, C-plus performance, somewhere in there.
C-minus.
See, a C plus ain't bad. I got C's and C pluses most of my life. So when I say a C plus, I mean it was a bad first half and a good second half. So
their first half was wretched. They were bad in the first half. Would you guys stop at this?
Yeah, I know. I just said they were bad in the first half, but then in the second half they were really good. So C plus.
Like I said, we've mostly picked them apart. Give me some good stuff, Mass, just to see if we can do it.
What do you mean from the game?
Yeah, give me like let's see if we can do 5 minutes of things we like. Do you think we're capable of it?
Sure.
Okay, ready. Go.
Jake Bailey, once again. Love Jake Bailey.
Oh, I thought his first punt, he sort of... Oh, I'm not allowed... Am I allowed to say?
See?
You can't do it, can you?
I thought his first punt was a little...
I don't expect them all to be great. Okay. He's still a weapon. I love Jake Bailey. I think he's a tremendous pickup in the draft. So I'm all for Jake Bailey. I think Dante Hightower...
5 minutes? I couldn't even do the first 20 seconds.
Exactly. You screwed it up. Dante Hightower yesterday I thought was terrific. Excellent. All over the field. In fact, I thought one of the big differences in that game was the two linebacking cores. The Patriots linebackers were all over the field. Juwan Bentley lit that guy up late in the game. It felt like he finally made a play yesterday. Again, Hightower's all over the field. Collins almost had a scoop and score and bobbled the ball a little bit and then ultimately just had to fall on it. So, meanwhile, the Patriots absolutely picked on the Redskins linebackers. Picked on them all day long. So I thought that was a huge difference in the game. Let's see what else.
How about getting Sony Michel involved in the passing game?
Good there one, we go. Throwing Excellent. To Michel. Yeah. Throwing to Michel.
Big one. Okay. That was a big one for me. And I thought Edelman was really good. Save for that.
I one, know, so right.
Save for that one mishap.
So I just can't. I can't do it. I can't do the
they
5 minutes.
They utilized the tight ends a little bit more, which we hadn't seen in either of the prior 4 weeks. Jakob Johnson seemed to be a factor in the running game in the second half as they got that going. So there were some good things there. And Brady bounced back after that horrific interception.
Oh, those two throws that Brady made, the touchdown to Bolden and the one before it to White on third down.
Tremendous.
Those are good plays. Those are, like legit big-time NFL quarterback plays.
I also thought, other than his – so I'm sorry, I got to give you the – other than the one drop, as you mentioned, Edelman had that one drop.
Oh, that was a horrible drop for him. He never drops a ball like that.
Bad one.
Well, he does it more often recently, but anyway.
Anyway, he caught all other eight balls thrown his way, and including a couple beauties. There was a diving grab on the sidelines that was a lovely toe tap, on the sidelines. And then he had a great diving catch over the middle. So I thought he was really vintage sort of Edelman in that game outside of the one drop. I think throwing to Michelle's a huge tendency breaker. And again, it just leads to, I'm just curious why it was so hard to get that going in the first place, because Michelle felt kind of natural. I didn't feel like he was fighting the ball or struggling with any of it. It felt like pretty throwing to a pass, catching back, normal.
So the only thing is, though, you can't just do it 1 week, throw to him three times, and have it be a tendency breaker. You got to keep doing it. Like, it has to be a threat when he's on the field for defenses to respect it. If he only has 10 catches at the end of the year, well, defenses are going to look at it and say, well, they give you one every now and then, but they really don't throw to him. It's not good enough. They got to, it should be three a week. They should be throwing to him three times a week.
I would say so. So I couldn't give you 5 minutes. We made it two, and even then we found little room to criticize a little bit. Sorry, it's hard. Hard to do for us.
Well, Jamie Collins continues to have a solid second chance around here with the Patriots. I thought he was excellent yesterday. Jonathan Jones was good in the secondary.
So the defense is pretty much, it's hard to, that one play that they gave up, the touchdown. Other than that.
Although I will tell you, who I didn't love for the third straight week?
Gilmore? They've thrown on him a little bit, wouldn't you say?
I'll tell you, a little bit. Their linebacking core is dynamite. It's the best linebacking core they've had in a long time. Like, I'd have to really think about that in terms of when they've had linebackers running around making the plays they're making. And I'll give you another one if you want to.
Yes, please, I do.
I felt like the fatties in the middle on the defensive line did a good job yesterday.
Shelton was good.
It's about, I shouldn't say it's about time.
Go ahead.
I didn't love the Buffalo game. But yesterday, I thought Bedard's going to be happy tomorrow because his pigs are going to be rolling around in the mud for crying out loud when we get to three up and three down. Those guys is going to be, let's make room for fatties.
Okay, your final thoughts. You want a couple open lines if you want to just jump on here at 617-779-0985. Here's Bob in Chicopee on the offensive line. What do you think, Bob?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say you guys put on a great show. Half the time you piss me off, but most of the time you put on a great show. I think the Patriots have what they need as far as weapons go. I think their biggest problem is they need to get somebody to protect Brady's blind side on the left side. And with Washington's situation, I think with their big tackle, Williams, maybe with everything that's going on with New England at this point, maybe they're looking at him, and maybe they should be looking at him.
Well, so, Bob, I'm just going to cut you off. The GM in Washington today said that they're not trading Trent Williams again. So more stellar management there in Washington. That's great. Just have a big asset like that and let them waste away to nothing.
Especially when you have a team that is just decrepit.
Tanking! You're going to be 2-14, 1-15. You'll be something like this. What does Trent Williams matter to you? You can get a first-round pick for the guy. What are you, freaking stupid? Or is it just, again, you're just trying to win a little petty battle?
I was just going to say, that's become about ego.
Because you're ruled by a petty, incompetent moron. Oh, God.
No, it is. That one is. It's about ego. It's about winning.
I don't care about the Redskins like at all, but Snyder is such an affront, he pisses me off. Anyway, so Trent Williams looks like he's not going anywhere. The problem yesterday, as you guys pointed out, is that a lot of the trouble came from the right side where Cannon and Shaq Mason are your established guys.
It felt to me, again, like Brady was getting a lot of the pressure there. And if you go back and look at the sacks, it felt like it was coming through that side of the line, the offensive right. So, again, we'll get the full breakdown from the big boy tomorrow, see if he schools us and tell us we get our heads up our asses.
Paul in Rhode Island, what do you got?
Hey, what's up? Thank you for taking my call. I'm very happy that they got a veteran kicker that's been around the league. And also, they're very inexpensive.
So you enjoyed Mike Nugent yesterday?
I did. Even though I'm the guy who brought up the topic about a month ago about the kicking game and so on. But I have to say that my second topic would be about the fake top of soccer, like agony. These players are faking it, the injuries, like Mahomes did yesterday. He got tapped a few times, and it's like,
so wait, hold on. So now Mahomes is a faker?
Yeah. He's been dealing with an ankle injury for weeks. It goes back to week one last night. Yeah.
It goes back to week one. Yeah.
Oh, good God. Would you please with this? And you enjoyed Mike Nugent yesterday. Which part did you enjoy?
The comedy of it?
I liked the one that hit the upright. That was my favorite kick. There's something about those kicks that hit the upright that make me laugh.
That was one of those. Now for my next trick, watch this one.
Doing.
Clang.
I mean, it was the best contact on a kickball all day was the ball that hit the upright.
Chris and Raynham, what do you got?
Hey, Felger, you got to stop making things up about Brady caring about stats. A random caller will call in and say, oh, Brady cares about getting the second most yards of all time. And then you'll go, since when does Brady care about this? He's never been about records. Brady never said that. Some random caller says that, and you take it as fact and turn around. And you guys do a 20-minute segment about how all Brady cares about is yardage. He's never said that.
So I thought I said we. Since when do we care about where he ranks in all-time yards and all-time touchdowns and these records that he's sort of on the verge of? Like, since when do we talk about that? I don't know. You're right. I haven't heard him talk about that. But I think, I don't know. I hope it's not important to him. Like, what, you have the rings, let Peyton Manning have the records. What's the diff? I like that narrative.
Yeah, I don't think the numbers are critical to Brady. I don't. I think that Brady will say, I finished third, I finished first. What's the difference? I'll have the most championships. I'm fine with that.
I mean, I hope not. I mean,
No, I do. I think that he generally believes that.
I mean, but I do believe that TB12 is more important to him now than the Patriots.
You and I disagree on the meaning of the word ego, is what we disagree on.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's a practical money financial equation. That is that the TB12 brand increases his bottom line. It's not an ego play. I mean, it's partly an ego play. He named it after himself. But it's really about the bottom line. It's about the business. And the better he does, the better his business does.
Yeah, and why does he need all that money?
Oh, well, he's a capitalist. He's an American. The number one rule of capitalism in America is that enough is never enough. You always want more. That's the whole basis of our economy. And I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just telling you that's how it goes.
Yeah, I'm just telling you. Everybody thinks that way.
How come Jeff Bezos keeps trying to innovate and come up with new products and new things to sell?
Ego.
Because he wants to.
No, he wants, if he's got $10 billion, he wants 12. If he has 12, he wants 20.
Okay, and why does he want it?
Yeah, what's that hole he's trying to fill in his dark soul?
Because he wants to create his own space agency and go to freaking Mars. So he needs all the money he can get.
Because he wants to be a god. Because he has a giant fill-in-the-blank
ego.
Thank you, Mass.
Exactly. Because the money fuels his ego. That's how he measures his self-worth.
I see what you're saying. So now I get it. So it's... I understand.
So again, but my definition of ego is different than yours. Ego to me is self-importance. Like, you know, it's not about, you know, putting your, you know, being stubborn or needing to win a fight because you need to win the fight. It's about how important you think you are. What?
Okay, so either way, Brady's right up there with all of these records. And I'm sorry, I was skimming through my phone trying to find this email that someone sent me where he ranks. Like, he's 1-2 in most everything. 1-2 in, you know, I mean, you name it. Yards, touchdowns, all of this. And I wonder, does he want to be 1? If he's going to be 2 or 3 and he's close with Breeze and Manning, he might as well be 1. Does he really feel that way? Because maybe he's got I don't know. At TB12, he's got a big poster board. First in yards, first in touchdowns, blah, blah, blah. It just looks better. Does he really care? I hope he doesn't.
I don't think he does. I mean, I think when he passes them, he likes to celebrate them. Like, hey, look at that. There's another one. But the fact of the matter is that if you add in the postseason, someone sent an email about this. He already has the most touchdown passes. I mean, and I, you know, to me, that's one of those where, what are we going to ignore Brady's postseason games? Like, that's the whole point of Brady is the postseason. Also, and just as a point of note, I don't think he's ever going to finish number one in yards. He's a season behind Breeze. Unless he plays one more year than Breeze, it's not going to happen.
I just like the narrative that Manning has the stats, Manning has the records, Brady has the rings. Like, I like that spot. So I don't need him to move up these lists. Either way, the final word comes your way next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Again, me and Ty Anderson on the off-air show, Facebook Live, presented by Ace Ticket, coming up in 4 minutes. Join us there, why don't you?
All right, so if you just happen to miss the bickering about ego, let's relive it again. The definition of ego, as defined by Mike Felger and Tony Maserati.
Breeze is like 3,000 yards ahead of
him. So Breeze is number one all-time in yards. Correct. Manning is 2, and Brady's about to pass Peyton Manning.
Correct. Yes.
Who gives a poop?
I don't agree. I wouldn't even know what the hell the number was unless they flashed it.
Right, to the point of, I don't know the number, I don't know the list, I don't care. When you talk about quarterbacks, I don't look at those things.
No, and the other thing is that I think the caller was talking about touchdown passes.
When who's leads that list? I don't know. I don't care.
Well, he said the caller said, who do you think's going to pass Manning first, Brady or Breeze? And I'm like, what difference does it make? Who cares who passes him first?
How do we ever look at Brady that way? Touchdown passes in a season. Vaguely, Brady set it in 07, and then did Manning beat him?
Yeah, he did.
The year he was all jacked up on HGH or whatever with the Broncos?
Yeah, he threw 55.
Okay, neat. Like, I don't even know the numbers.
Me either.
Do you?
No.
No.
Is that Brady's story? Why has that become his story all of a sudden?
Well, remember, the 1,000 yards rushing obviously mattered because he went forward when he took the kneel down last year.
And so I ask you, is that for the New England Patriots or is that for TB12? 1,000-yard rusher.
Yeah, you preacher to the choir here. Don't look at me.
Well, you just go like that's his ego.
It is his ego.
It's not. It's his business.
It's the same thing.
It's not.
It is.
His company is money, dollars and cents, Maz.
Here comes the Felger and Maz who's on first argument again.
Mike, it is. It's ego.
It's his business.
It's the same thing.
It's not.
It is.
It is.
His ego is free. There's no money attached to it. His business, he makes money with. Don't you get it? It's currency.
It's his ego.
But I see what you're doing now. You're saying business and dollars and cents are ego. When you have all the money in the world, any more money is just ego.
Exactly. What? Yeah. Brady's already got enough money to buy and sell all of us.
But I'd also
why does he need more? Ego.
I'd also say it's capitalism. So why do the Patriots have a budget when Robert Kraft is worth $6 billion? Because he wants to be worth 6.1.
Why?
Because it's the way capitalists are wired. They want more. They always want more.
Yeah, and everyone wants to be number one. So it's competition. And if you are number one, that's helping to feed your, again, fill in the blank mess.
Ego.
Thank you.
Business.
Ego. Yeah. Ego.
I get to say I'm the best businessman. By saying I'm the best businessman, what does that help me feel inside? What's that help my... Maz?
Ego.
Thank you.
Not to be confused with the superego or the id. We can have a discussion. Someday we'll do the complete Freudian breakdown for Sir Felger over here. Get him real schooled on psychology and the intricacies of the human mind.
Also, next. Also gave out grades for the Patriots' performance yesterday.
Have you heard of the Oedipal complex?
Here's Maz's.
What do you give the game overall? Maz, give me a grade for the Patriots yesterday.
C-.
Murray?
A C+.
I said B-. I downgraded it to a 79.
73.
That's still a C, man.
That's a C.
A 70 is a C-.
70, 72 is a C-.
Oh, so now it's 72. Okay, fine. 72.
Thank you.
Does that make you happy?
It's too low. Well, that's a C-.
Okay, well, there you go. So 72.4. Can I do that? Does that round to 72?
It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't good.
But it wasn't great. I would agree with you there.
They played a better team yesterday. They would have lost. C-. Below average. For them, that's a C-. That's a below average performance.
Speaking of C-, here comes Jones and Arcand.
Yes, yes, yes.
I was thinking more D.
What, Jones? What?
Well, I would like to know if Patriots fans enjoyed yesterday. Like, I would just like to know, is that fun? Like, is that like a fun experience? Is that a fun game? Was yesterday a fun game?
I think it was useless.
Like, what was the point of that? What was the point of that? Other than the team looking like garbage in the first half, like, what was the point? So,
what's that old expression? Breasts on a bowl?
That's it. That's basically what that game was yesterday.
Boobs on a bowl.
So yeah. We'll begin with that. We'll get to my guy, Sony Michel, as well. Some thoughts on him. Catches some passes now.
Yeah, nice.
Couple of them.
Yeah, we'll take it.
That's something.
Yeah, something.
So we'll get to that, too.
I mean, I don't know if you're drafted in the first round for the three catches, but...
I know, Pac-Man, you're a guy. Did you see that burst?
Oof. Yeah, all I know is when they had the 42-year-old throwing, 30 times in the first half, they couldn't score. Then they started running in the second half, and they started to score. Kind of like last year in the playoffs.
Arcand, as always, good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, no commercials, just an update. Then you get Jones, unfortunately. We're back at it tomorrow at 2 with the big fella.
Oh, yeah, Big Boy Tuesday.
Talk to you then.
Bye.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.